Good to be back again in the Lord's house. Thankful for the day and the hospitality that this church has shown to us again, as they always do. We're so thankful to be here. I just enjoy preaching here. I've always felt a real liberty. Don't always feel that every place you go, even in some of your old churches, and that's not a reflection on them, but sometimes it's just the way it is. But I'm thankful to be here again this evening. Good to see each of you back again. Extend you our thanks for your hospitality and your care for us. We're going to return to Psalm 119 and just continue in these first 8 verses. I doubt that we'll get even past this first verse again. We just setting forth some things that were a great blessing to me. I think I mentioned this morning that we have progressed through almost 200 pages of notes. And I remember when Brother Hilly first asked me if I would preach through 119 Psalms, I thought, man, anything but that. I just don't know. But I've heard of men taking years to go through the 119 Psalm. We were almost a year now. And certainly my studies are not probably in depth as to the degree many are. And I neither apologize or weep for that. It's just, I am the man that God made me, and I do the best I can. And I've enjoyed it. It's been, I wrestle with always doing. I come here to see what I'm going to preach, and I have a message all set out there, and it just, the more I look at it, I think this ain't working. I can't get it to, it doesn't flow, I'm not comfortable with it. And so, I come to this, and this has been a great blessing to me to go through the 119th Psalm. And as I said, Brother Hilly's given me a couple of weeks or a month off now to I guess maybe to get ahead. But we want to return to Psalm 119 and verses 1-8, which we will read, although we'll not get probably past this first verse again. The blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with a whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Every verse in this whole 176 verses makes a statement and ties it into the Word of God. You can't declare anything worth declaring, any truth, any comforting thought, any directional advice, unless you attach it to the Word of God. If you do, then you we're not having church, because we're to assemble and to around the Word of God, which declares the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the reason we meet. And so, he says, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep my statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. So we're going to continue this afternoon what we began this morning. And we close with that little formula that I gave you there, the circumstances of life. Laid alongside the Word of God and adherence by the hearer to that Word is the in the end there is contentment. That's the only way we'll find contentment in this world, is to follow that formula. And so we want to continue concerning looking at that first word, blessed are the undefiled in the way. And before we go, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your grace and goodness. We thank you for strength, for the mind that can think logically and can keep thoughts together. Lord, I pray for that again this evening. I pray that each one here might be so centered upon the Word of God that the things and the cares and the just the everyday life things, Lord, we pray they may not crowd in tonight or this evening and rob us of your presence and of a blessing. Be with us now, we pray, help us, we ask, Lord, for we cannot proclaim your word unless you would humble us in the dust of the earth, and then we might exalt Christ. This we pray in his name, and amen. So he says, in this first verse, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way, or blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. And so the psalm speaks of a peculiar people. And that's what you and I are. We may look normal. Some of us look more normal than others. But we're peculiar people. And the more that we walk in this world, and the world becomes more peculiar in the sense that it's not conforming to the Word of God, the more that we hold to the Word of God, the more we love it, the more we seek it, the more we desire to follow after it, then we're going to appear to the world as peculiar. You know, why do you do this? Or why don't you do this, what everybody else is doing? Or why is it you have such strange ideas about certain things? Because the book says that we're to. And the Bible makes us peculiar. We're odd. We're strangers. Amen. We're pilgrims. This is not our home. Amen. As much as we have to live in it, we're not of this world. And so, he speaks of here, he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. That marks out a particular group of people. A peculiar, undefiled. The word means blameless. You know, when Satan presented himself before the Lord there in Job chapter 1, and he said, Have you considered my servant Job? He's perfect and upright. Well, this is not the same word, but it marks out the fact that there's something different about Job. It means blameless. Job wasn't a sinlessly perfect man, but he was perfect in the eyes of God through the righteousness of Christ, as we are. So he was blameless. And entire, the word involves that. You know, you fellows are very good at bringing out all these things that I never think about. And so there's a lot of words here you can run down and you can really have a lot of sermon. Blameless, entire. There's nobody in this world outside of Christ who is complete in the sense of being acceptable to God. But we're entire. Now again, not perfect. And the word also means perfect. And we know that doesn't mean that we are perfect like Christ. The word can carry with it the meaning of sincere or without blemish. It has a connotation of speaking of integrity. Blessed are the undefiled. Certainly we are blameless in Christ. Certainly we are entire in Christ in the sense that we are in Him and He is perfect. Sincere, without blemish. It speaks of integrity. It means to have no deceit. We are Job-like people, as I just referred to him there a moment ago, in the fact that he was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. He hated evil. He shunned it. That's why that marked him out as being peculiar. You remember when Jesus was in the early chapters of John, I believe chapter 1, when Jesus was walking there, and and Nathanael and the disciples, and when he saw Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom is no guile." Being in Christ Jesus, God would say the same of us. You see. So these are the things I want us to understand about this word. I want to kind of focus on that a little bit. The undefiled in the way, you walk in the law of the Lord. I referred to Psalm 1, and I'm going to go back there again. There's so much that can be said of that little chapter. There we read, "Blessed are the undefiled, and blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night." We're not like these in Psalm 1. It says there that they're ungodly, they're sinners, and they're sinful. Blessed are the undefiled. These in chapter 1, we're the opposite of what we have in chapter 1. The defiled. What are they? They're ungodly, it says there in verse 1. What do they do? They sin. They stand in the way of sinners. What will they become? Mockers and scoffers of God. There is a progression there, and it's a downward progression. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Psalm chapter 1 is not them. That's not you and I. That's the very opposite, as I hinted to that this morning. There is a downward progression there. God's people have an upward progression. We're being daily conformed to the image of Christ. "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal God, but made himself of no reputation." That's the mind that we have. We have the mind to be conformed to the image of Christ. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice," in Romans 12. That's what we do. We have an upward progression. The world has a downward progression. Those that do not know Christ. I don't care how much you learn, how much you refine yourself, what polished manners you have outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going down, 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 down until you reach hell itself if you've not been brought to repentance and faith in Christ before you depart this world. A man outside of Christ, not to belabor the point, but I want to establish that the opposite of what we are. They are dead and they do what dead men do, they rot. And there again, we can see when the laws of God are taken away, when there's no adherence to the things that God declares in His Word, when men flaunt their will at God and would have nothing to do with God, that's a dangerous place to be in. Continually rejecting the Lord and His Word. Romans 1:18 says that before the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. We're undefiled. We're the people who are opposite of us. Here's those outside of Christ. Why are they ungodly? Why are they unrighteous? What is the evidence of it? They hold the truth in unrighteousness. Or they suppress the truth. They don't want the truth. They despise the truth. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. That's, he's referring to the heavens there in verse 18. Verse 20, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen." Creation declares God, is what he's saying. "Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that we may know God they glorify him not as God. You see. Many were thankful, but become vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice the digression here. The descent. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The man who declares and says, I have nothing to do with this book, it has nothing for me, is a fool. There's nothing there that is going to help me, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. It's going to live as he should, only by creation, seeing the evidence of him. They were thankful, they became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, verse 23, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and the birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave him up to uncleanness. When man continually rejects God, but have nothing to do with God, when that word is presented to him, he will continue to get worse and worse in an outward way. He's no worse than what he was inwardly. But his life will continue to be an ungodly life, and it will be a wicked life. As God gives him over, there is nothing there that can resist Satan and all the habitation he might possess in that body. That's another story, but since verse 24, wherefore God also gave him up in uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. He changed the truth of God, or exchanged it for a lie. They would rather believe a lie. The Bible says man would better believe a lie and be damned. And worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause God gave him up into vile affections. For even the women had changed the natural use of that which was against nature, and likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning the lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. You see the downward spiral? God gave him over to a reprobate man to do those things which were not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable and merciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. It used to be, when I was a young man, and I'll be 78 here pretty soon, that even those who did not profess Christ had some respect for truth and decency. But the further a man goes in his corruptness, and the more that he rejects God, he will have nothing to do, and will make no form of being righteous or good. In other words, they cast off all restraints and just go and do that which they desire to do. That is not you and I this evening. Those are the defiled. We are the undefiled. Everything that I just read to you there in those verses, we are just the very opposite. Praise God, and thanks be unto God. Our delight is in the law of the Lord, and we seek His law in His way, and we meditate in it day and night. And we need to do so more than we do now, I believe. The defiled are dead and rotting and decaying. But we as the undefiled, we're not dying, we're animated, and we'll continue to be more so animated or living. And our living is not a pretense, because you cannot manufacture that eternal or spiritual life. It's in you or it's not. We are the undefiled. You have been justified by faith in the living Word of God. Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. That's our standing in heaven. And he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way. That undefiled state is our standing in heaven. And then he goes on to say, who walk in the law of the Lord. This is our state on earth as God's children. Walking in grace. Keeping His Word. Seeking after Him. That's why we must meditate upon the Word of God. Because it's not easy to do. And we can't do it without the grace of God. And the more that we fail to just let ourselves be lost in the Word of God, the more we do that, the more we shall be pleasing to God. The Word of God is an umbrella for the reins of the life that we face, and it protects us. If the Word were a prescription, we couldn't overdose on it. You see, you can't get too much of the Word of God. If it were an IRA, some of us are lucky enough to have those, you couldn't overdraw on it. That's the Word of God in the state that we're undefiled in the way. There's a progression of thought all the way through this psalm, but here in these first 8 verses, concerning the undefiled, the writer states that there is a unique quality about them. They're undefiled. They have an affinity with the Word of God. That's something that we're attracted to, as a moth is to a flame. We see the statement, the fact that the writers of God's Word have a practical holiness. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. There is a practical holiness. Walking in the law as soon as verse means to obey it. To obey it with the end to glorify God. I think Mike mentioned something about, you know, you can do something, but if it's not for the purpose of glorifying God, then it's just a waste, you see. So he says, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law. There is a relationship set forth here, a heart relationship, a love of God through the love of His Word. It says they do no iniquity. Verse 3 there, they also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. Now how can that be so? Blessed are they, they also do no iniquity, walk in His ways. You know how people take a verse of Scripture and they build a whole doctrine on it? Or they say, okay, you know, Bible says, you know, that we don't sin. And yet, I see that you're sinning, you know. But there's a conflict here in their mind because they don't understand the Word of God. They take a verse of Scripture, isolate it, and they come up with a false conclusion. How can it say here that they do no iniquity? The Scripture says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3, Psalm, that's a quote from Psalm 14. It's the same as in 1 John 5:18. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself or guards himself. And the wicked one toucheth him not. And this is possible because they are continually walking in and keeping to the Word of God, whereby there is a seeking to glorify God and His Son. We must keep this connection. We must maintain this connection by the preciousness and the Word of God being continually part of our life. We're coming to a day, and it's difficult to maintain the relationship, not the state of our relationship, but the living a life pleasing to God because of so many things that draw us away from the Word of God. I can think back, and again, there's maybe one other person or two in this room that can realize that. I can remember when the 13E first came out, and it was about this big. And our neighbors had it. We didn't. And it was only about 2 hours a day. And it didn't control our lives like so many things do today. And I'm not... we have to consider these things. There is a great drawing away of you and I from precious time that we spent with God and meditating upon the things of God. And when that is lacking, then our lives are lacking. And the spirit that abides within us is being quenched. And we're displeasing to God. This is just plain old simple common sense, scriptural common sense. They do no iniquity. He says there, 5:18, we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And the reason that is possible because they continue walking in, keeping to the Word of God, whereby there is a seeking to glorify God and his Son. The doing of iniquity, verse 3, involves three things. He says, they do also do no iniquity. The doing of iniquity. I'm going to go back to that contrast to what those who do that do. The doing of iniquity involves three things. Which the believer does not do. They do no iniquity, it says. Doing of iniquity involves a purpose to do it, first of all. There's a purpose to do it. You remember in Genesis 39? When Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife, I think we read those verses this morning in Sunday school. He had no desire to do those things that were not pleasing to God. He had the opportunity, and the whole flesh, I'm sure, was wanting to fall into that trap. But as a child of God, and with that individual, and you and I, that there is a within us that purpose. Being exercised in our life not to sin. We may sin, but all of it grieves us, doesn't it? Like David in Psalm 51. Like Peter, when he denied his Lord. Joseph ran from Potiphar's wife. Why did he stand out above all the captives of Israel? It's interesting, don't you know that is? Because it says that he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with anything that reached the Babylonian kingdom that he was a captive stranger in. That's in Daniel 1:8. See, they do no iniquity. Why? Because they walk in his ways. Everything that this world system that we read, or we see, or we hear, or we practice is defiling us and robbing us of blessings. Daniel had no desire for the material things or the worldly wisdom, for God gave him his wisdom. You can read that in Daniel 1:18-20. It won't take the time to turn to that. So the first thing to be a doer of iniquity, there must be a purpose to do it. The second thing, is that there is a delight in doing it. A delight in doing it. A truly righteous individual are grieved at sin in their life and repent at every failure. I don't get out of bed some mornings, but I'm not on my knees, at least in my mind, asking God to forgive me of ungodliness. You know what ungodliness is? It's simply not thinking of God. You got everything else crowded in your mind, but you're not thinking of God. So the first thing that the doing of iniquity involves is a purpose to do it, and then a delight in doing it. Just Lot, the Bible says, was dwelling with the Sodomites, was vexed by hearing and seeing their evil deeds. Hearing and seeing their evil deeds. 2 Peter 2:7. Yet God delivered him. So let's not be too quick to criticize Lot as he lingered. So often we linger at things that are taking ourselves away from the Word of God. Maybe in themselves they aren't a sin, but they create that atmosphere for sin. The Bible says in Romans 4:3 that Abraham believed God, referring back there to Genesis 18:19. That is, as to his word. It says, remember, it says that when the angels were going to go to Sodom and destroy it, and they said, should we tell Abraham? You know, they wanted to know if he was responsible enough or I guess, godly enough, undefiled enough to relate this information, what they were going to do. It says in Genesis 18, in verse 19, after the angels in verse 16, the men rose up, these are the angels, and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. The Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, and that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. You see, they knew that Abraham was a righteous man. Abraham didn't linger after the things that were not pleasing to God. He was an example of obedience, Genesis 13, 1 through 4. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, and the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, silver, and gold, and he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and to the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He was an example of obedience. Abraham had a delight in doing the things of God, not in doing the things of sin. Lot separated from Abraham, didn't he? And just when you read that, it seems we see that Lot is someone that required a lot of looking after. Have you known Christians like that? Almost every church has one. I don't know that we do here, but there's someone just can't seem to keep it on the right track. And I believe they're saved people. I really do. But they struggle. They struggle. The Bible had not said that about Job in the New Testament. A righteous man, I would never have suspected him to be one. Some people just require a lot of looking after. They need to have their mind and their hearts in the Word of God, as we're talking about here. A meditation upon the Word of God. Amen. He seemed to be guided more by sight than faith. He depended more on others to guide him rather than seek God to lead him. You know, a lot of people, teach me that Bible. Boy, I don't want to have to be concerned with studying, teaching, and preaching it. Just let me sit back here and enjoy that. I know a preacher who has in his church many men, and he makes them bring a sermon almost every week or month. Every one of them. It makes them realize and appreciate what they have And it disciplines their mind and hearts towards the things of God. But there's those who just go by sight more than faith. And depend on somebody else to keep their spiritual life going. But on the other hand, Abraham, how many times it says he was always building an altar? And that's a place of worship. And that place where he heard from God. It seemed Abraham didn't make a move unless he was worshiping God in that manner. And that's what this whole 119th Psalm is. It is given to induce a continual meditation upon the Word of God for our good. But I don't observe these habits in Abraham and Lot. He built his tent towards Sodom. And later we find that he lived there. At no time do I find Lot seeking his Lord as Abraham did. Abraham recognized God at all times in his life because he was walking in the law of the Lord. He recognized the angels that came to him, and he entertained them in his home. And he believed the message that they told him. Now, a lot of he entertained them as well, but he lingered, and he didn't take to their message too well. He was still willing to reject that word of God that they brought him and remain where he was. He thought maybe he could get by borderlining his walk. Mm-hmm. You know, some of Christians want to live half in the world and half serving God. Can't do it. Can't serve two masters. You know those scriptures. Amen. He did entertain them, but he lingered, says in Genesis 19. He hovered between two opinions. God will destroy everything you have if you value that above God. Beware, dear child, of playing with fire. So, the doing of iniquity, there was a purpose to do it, and a delight in doing it. It seemed that Lot just kind of delighted in tempting God, seeing how far he could go. And the third thing of those that do iniquity, there was a continuance in it. God's people don't continue to sin because it's against our will. Now, how long Lot would have went before the angels came, I don't know. And I believe there is a sin unto death. That is, a believer can be taken out because he refuses to straighten up and fly right, as they say. We don't continue sin because it's against our will. Yet, rather, we cry out against that sin. And we flee from it because we love our master. We're sheep, aren't we? And sheep hear the shepherd's voice. That is, the commands. And they follow him. They do no iniquity. There's no purpose to do it. There's no delight in doing it. There's no continuance in that. They also do no iniquity. God's people don't give place to anything outside of the Word of God . But we continue walking in the law and the testimonies, the precepts and the statutes and the commandments and the judgments of God. The Bible speaks about those running to and fro. Well, God's people don't run to and fro. They walk. There's a steadfast determination to the place that God would have us to go. God has brought us by a way that we know not. And we clearly see now. And so I'm going to close there. There's some other things that if I start into it, you'd hate me from here on out because we'll be here for the next 25, 30 minutes. So I'm going to stop there. And I trust the Lord has given you something out of that. But the thing to be emphasized in all of the 119th Psalm is our dependence, reliance, continuance in and depends upon the Word of God because it reveals and sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Mike.
We appreciate that, Brother Crowder. Always enjoy you coming and preaching to us. And I believe what you said is right. We do enjoy being preached to and being taught and stuff, but actually doing the digging ourselves. When you do it, and maybe you're forced to do it, and that does happen sometimes, that you just out of necessity, and then you end up getting a blessing out of it. And you end up seeing some truth that the Lord has opened up to you, and some different aspects of His Word. And then you realize, well, I should have been doing that all along. You know, I shouldn't wait till it has to be forced upon me. And I'm talking about me. So many things in life that just fill up our time that we do not seem to have time for the Lord or for the Lord's Word. And as Christians, that's a sad state to be in. It is. All right, let's all stand.